Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Hot Take. This is the One Heat Mid Productions new release podcast that has graduated from years hiding away on our Patreon to the main feed. And why have we brought it to the main feed? Well, two reasons. First is we're having so many great responses and reactions to the episodes on our Patreon, and our Patreon listeners are very happy for us to bring it on. We've got some other fantastic things there. But the other reason is that in 2025, the movie that I think is absolutely the best of the year, toppling Sinners as my favorite release in 2025, is the movie that I'm bringing this to the main feed for. Formally, today I'm joined by my dear friend, prodigious writer, screenwriter, author, all-round filmmaking legend, Maria Lewis. Hello. The lady who sat next to me in the second viewing of Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another, which she dubbed I Am a Father of Biracial Daughters. Listen to the trailer, and we're going to talk all about PTA's latest film.
What I'm doing here is I'm creating a closed circuit.
Ooh. Very important to keep your cap shunted like this, so you don't accidentally detonate your charge.
Don't stop.
I want you to create a show. This is an announcement of revolution.
The message is clear.
I'll be seeing you very soon.
Not if I see you first.
This is a revolution!
We're bringing justice to the vigilante group known as the French 75. We are here to award Stephen Lockjaw with the Medal of Honor.
You have to understand, Willa.
Me and Mom used to run around and do some real bad shit. They got hurt. Now they're coming after us. I'm sorry.
I didn't ask for this. That's just how the cards were rolled out for me.
It's not cards. You don't roll cards. It's dice.
Dad, what is wrong with you?
You're right.
Let's go.
I got a tunnel.
Whoa, what's going on?
I need a weapon, man. All you got is goddamn nunchucks. You know where I can get a gun?
I wanted to protect you from all your mom's stuff and all my stuff, even though I know that's impossible.
This is the end of the line.
Not for you.
Who's this?
Oh, they're just my friends.
Now, is that a he or a she or a they?
It's not that hard. They, them.
Okay, I just want to be polite. Keep running, jumping the aqueducts, fire hydrants and hazard. The smoke alarms on the back of us. But mama, don't cry for me, rap for me, try for me, live for me, breathe for me, sing for me. Yo, say it. Say it, baby.
Love you, Bob.
Love you, too.
You know what freedom is? No fear. Just like Tom Cruise.
All right, Mads, if people don't know anything about it, I'm just going to give everyone the briefest of synopses. This is Paul Thomas Anderson adapting Thomas Pynchon's Vineland, his second Pynchon adaptation, but this one is way looser. It's kind of rough, and the story is kind of changing times, changing places, keeps a ton of character names, but does this whole bunch of PTA stuff along the way. The story is about Bob, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, and Willa, his daughter, who have been on the run for about 16 years after being the, you know, at the coalface of a revolutionary movement called the French 75. They have to escape because Colonel Steve Lockjaw, played by Sean Penn, has sort of cracked down on their revolutionary movement. Whilst they're in hiding, all of their other friends and peers and revolutionaries are still quietly kicking away at that revolution. And then because of Lockjaw's aspiration, he's put back on their trail to find them and to sort of maybe unlock some secrets that all entangle them together. Willa is played by the absolutely glorious. I want to make sure that I get her name because she's so fantastic. It is Chase Infinity. The cast includes Sean Penn, as I said, Regina Hall, Benicio del Toro, Tiana Taylor as the fantastic Perfidia Beverly Hills, and directed and written by the one, the only, Paul Thomas Anderson. Truly a magnificent film on every level for me. At like his most immediate, dynamic, really felt and urgent piece of storytelling. I just love this movie to pieces. And we got to sit together and I had the best experience looking over, having already seen the movie 4 days earlier and was so desperate to see it again that I got into a second time before recording this. And the whole time I was looking over at Maz doing that thing that you do when you're like, you love something, you love a movie and you're showing your friends, truly boy film bro shit. And I was watching her the whole time, watching the movie, hoping that she was enjoying it. And now I get to find out if she did. Maria Lewis.
I didn't know that it was your second time seeing it, but I should have known because you were literally like, every time a funny bit happened, you were like, hey. Hair, like, or a bit that youth assumed that I would respond to, and you were correct. You were doing that little head watch thing, and I was like, this motherfucker gotta watch the movie, or is he just there waiting out here to meme my reactions? Like, what's going on here? I loved it. I think saying it's better than Sinners is crazy to me, but I do love that these two films get to exist within the same year because I think they are talking about adjacent things, and yeah, okay, that you know. My like little quippy letterbox review of like, as a father of inverted commas biracial daughters, that really does feel like PTA not only reconciling or reckoning with being a white man who is a father of biracial daughters, but also the inadequacies and inferiority you feel as a parent when you're watching your kids change the world in a way that you hoped and failed to do was really fascinating stuff. But it also has that PTA thing, which I love and which I think most people who are PTA fans love, where they do really have, like, you tend to have, like, one or two guys up front and then everybody else in the film is just this fucking insane patchwork of lunatics. And that is exactly what this has. You know, like, Jungle Pussy, who's an incredible rapper, hip-hop
Shane
artist.
McHale. Wow.
So Jungle Pussy, that's her name. That's her performing name. She plays Jungle Pussy in the, you know what I mean? Like Jungle Pussy is Jungle Pussy. But ironically, she was, not ironically, maybe coincidentally, she was also in Support the Girls, which was like her acting debut, which is a great little underseen movie that Regina King directed back in, Regina Hall, not Regina King. It was like a few years ago. I want to say it was like, I don't know, maybe like 2019, 2020, Support the Girls.
Yeah, 2018, you're spot on.
Yeah, it was just, it's really, really great movie, kind of about a bunch of chickies sort of working at a Hooters-like place. Anyway, she's amazing in it, but there's also people like, you've got one of the fucking Haim sisters in there, obviously, who'd been in his previous movie, but all these just like random people, Wood Harris in there for a second, and Tiana Taylor, who they position up front smartly, but is really sort of just this like looming presence. But the whole movie is basically like, and you know, Benicio, obviously incredible. But again, that little it's very Wes Anderson-y, that patchwork that he does, that PTA does. Tony Goldwyn is like, again, the sort of casting of this group that is a very sort of like obvious parody of the KKK, the Christmas Adventurers Club, and having Tony Goldwyn as the head of that, or like Grand Wizard, if you will, is so funny because it's like you're casting like pop culture's favorite swirler. You know, he was President Fitz from Scandal, and that biracial relationship was one of the, it was just like, it's like biracial dissection left and right. But it really is a movie that's just DiCaprio and Chase Infinity, who, for anybody who watched, now what was that Harrison Ford movie that got adapted to into a series with what's his fuck, Jake Gyllenhaal, Presumed Innocent. So she plays Jake Gyllenhaal's daughter in Presumed Innocent, again, biracial swirling, here we go. Jake Gyllenhaal and Ruth Negga's daughter. And she, that's her first role, as far as I'm aware, and she was a revelation in that. But this gives her so much space to cook. And as an audience member, you get to go on the same journey as DiCaprio, where you're watching her blossom into a woman and blossom into a version of her mother that's actually better. You know, it's all this thing of like a parent's wildest dream is that they want their children to exceed them, or so they should, like a great parent's wildest dream, I should say, rather than trying to like stifle and suffocate them. And yeah, I loved it. It was like a black, this is gonna sound like a diss, and I don't mean it that way, but it felt like a white man's take on a black exploitation movie, which is what it was, but not in a Tarantino way. But you know, and Regina, who's also, sorry, Regina Hall, who's in this movie as well. I should say, like, shout out to support the girls, but she's also excellent in this movie as
Oh my
well.
God, she's so good. She plays Deandra, who's one of the revolutionaries in the French 75. And for a person who made such a massive splash at a formative time for us in like whatever it was, Scary Movie or Scary Movie
Oh
2, I
my
can't remember.
God.
Like such a
TV, the
such a hilarious, like comedic actor, as well as just being a funny presence, as well as a great filmmaker. Now gets to come in and just cook. There's another in this movie of like, as you said, the kind of like wild guys. There's so many great soldier performances, but there's a guy who's the main offsider, and I had to get his name because I was
leaking.
so keen on shouting him out. James Radiman plays Danvers, who is basically the offsider of Lockjaw, who becomes his sort of, I guess, key first mate and prime interrogative force in this movie. And he is fucking unbelievable. Just this random guy who's probably been acting for 20 years in a million shows comes in and just crushes, like understands the assignment so elementally that he delivers. And just those, all the big actors have been doing this thing where they say, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson reaches out to you and says, "Hey, I've got a movie for you." You know, Benicio famously says, like, "Paul, if I'll do it, I don't even have to read it. I'm just coming. I'm coming to play. I'm you're making a movie, I'm there." But it was so cool to hear that PTA had such a curatorial overview of so many of the actors that he wanted to be a part of this. And he was literally reaching out to individuals going, "I have a part in mind for you. I'd love you to read it." And was like getting in touch with them individually, which is such a kind of interesting thing. And I think it goes to your point of like really curating this particular mix of people. And so the performances are just unbelievable. The things that he lingers on, infuriating phone conversations in the middle of a revolution, fantastic. You know, the calmness of like true enduring revolutionaries, and then this, you know, the chaos of Leonardo DiCaprio's kind of aging and lost a step and lost a whole mess of brain cells, Bob.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
But in this movie is so wonderful. And I think you put it so beautifully when we walked out. Often you're most poetic on the brisk walk between Event Cinemas George Street and Town Hall
The
Station.
only time I cook when I'm like under pressure and have no audience.
You are cooking. But you just said like you also mentioned it now, which is that Teyana Taylor, like her character is so powerful, Perfidia Beverly Hills in this movie, that she haunts the movie. Like it's like, you know, I think a couple of the folks we were with said, "Oh, I was wondering if she would, be talking about some spoilery things about how her place is in the movie." And you just said that beautiful thing. You're like, no, she just haunts it. She just haunts the whole movie. She's the kind of like strange obelisk of the movie 2001 style, that her presence is just there. And it's just such a kinetic movie. It's shot so stunningly. The score is outlandishly good. And I did, Johnny Greenwood obviously is the composer. I just, there is at every level of the movie, there is a level of accomplishment, both technical and performance and just storytelling, that is like clever, emotionally resonant, vibrant, urgent, scary, anxiety inducing, and then in the most perfect ways, laugh out loud, hilarious. It just knocked my socks off. And, you know, I wasn't as lucky that by the time that I'd done my one hot take on Sinners, which you can go back and listen to, which I sort of raved, and it is a rave. Like, I love Sinners, and I don't want to sort of diminish. I hate this ranking shit because I can just say that I loved movies this year. Like, there's like a few movies I love this year.
I'm glad you said that, because I truly have felt so, I think we were talking about this, about like, I felt so, I don't want to say let down, but I felt, you know, usually I don't want to say it's my work or it's my job that leaves me like uninspired or whatever. But the thing I do is, like, for solace is I go to film and television and books or whatever to feel inspired. And that's my go-to, is like, I'll go to the cinema. And I have felt, and I've been really struggling to motivate myself to go out and see things, because I've sort of felt so disappointed and let down by so many movies. And I just I was truly saying to someone the other day, I was like, I just can't fucking waste my time and sit through another 2-star or another 2.5-star fucking, you know, Fantastic Four or Working Man or whatever it is. And I was, you know, have my list of films I like, just as a notes doc on my phone, of films that I love and things that I just really hate, but generally speaking, things that stand out to me. And usually getting to this point of the year, that list is too long and you're starting to trim back into like honorable mentions or top 10. I'm like, I'm not even fucking close to 10. Like, it really is like a handful of movies at best. And it was just so great to go and see something that didn't let me down the way that it felt like so much of television and film has been this year. And just to, I don't know, be really sort of inspired and interested and provoked and disgusted by a movie is like all of those things, I think, are very like PTA traits, you know what I mean? He never shies away from the ugliness. And in this particular case, it's not just, yes, it is mainly racial ugliness, but it's also like economic ugliness as well. And just the
systemic racism and corruption and power mongering. It's just, it does it all. And like in this year, when I look at the things that I've loved and what I love about the, you know, my Letterboxd current ranked top four of the year are as follows. It's like Sinners, which I've effusively gushed about on here. And
what are you trying to backtrack? Is like, you're like, just no, so you know, guys, no, I love Sinners.
No, I was saying, no,
okay. I don't just love the movie about black people by white people. I also like the one about black people by black people, just so you were clear.
Shut up, guys. Okay. No, I truly loved four movies this year and had great experiences, like top to bottom, peerless experiences. It's like Sinners. It's the latest Naked Gun, which was one of the funnest experiences that I've had at the cinema all year. It was one that I missed at the cinema, but then urgently caught up with it as soon as it was available for me to buy 28 years later. Danny Boyle and Alex Garland going back. I thoroughly loved that movie. And then I watched this and I was vibrating on a frequency watching this the first time. And then normally what would happen is that I just wouldn't bother going to try and catch that next sneak. I'd be like, oh, I've seen it, it's fine. But I made the point to go and see it again. And not only was I not in any way steered away from my maybe preliminary, like hot, spicy hot take that it was absolutely the best of the year. But I was sitting there going, as a person who was so deeply involved in Paul Thomas Anderson's last Thomas Pynchon appreciation with my buddy Travis Woods and Inherent Vice, Love in Increment Vice. I just was like, this movie is as boundless as significant to me, and made me feel like some of my favorite PTA have ever made me feel, and also put me over the top. Like, I love Inherent Vice. That was my last true, like, head over heels, stunningly in love. And I wasn't a Phantom Thread. I mean, wasn't as big a Phantom Thread guy as others. I certainly wasn't as big a Licorice Pizza guy as others. But far out, this movie just, I just think it's one of his most, and for a guy who's made the movies that he's made, it's one of his biggest and most significant works. And I just love it. It's out of sight. Amazing.
What? I just also want to touch on a few things with the Teyana Taylor stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because she is someone who is like one of those artists who has a skill and a gift every which way. You know, like she's been literally famous since she was 16, is an incredible singer, an incredible musician, and generational dancer and performance artist. But it's really special, I think, that like her big, so like, you know, she'd had like small bits and bobs, mainly in music videos and things like the Coming to America sequel. But her big moment where she should have been nominated for an Oscar was in 1001. And it was a leading performance. The whole movie rests on her back. It was emotional and ugly and beautiful and moving and all of that. And I'm glad that she has something like that in her quiver, because then when you add like one battle after another, it's like, oh, bitch, she can do anything. Like, yeah. She is the way
she
that
can
I
lead
felt
a Paul Thomas Anderson movie almost. She's like, it's kind of curious that like Leo is obviously the lead, but for a whole stanza of this movie, she's the fucking main character, and she is not letting anyone down.
It's interesting that he doesn't really shine until she's gone. Because yeah. I'm like, it, like they need her to be absent from the film to let Leonardo DiCaprio, somebody that most men would consider one of their generational great actors, like he can only shine in her absence. And when she's there, it's like you can't take your eyes off her. Like she is.
I feel
all
the same about being on a podcast with you. When Teyana Taylor's on here, I'm just Leo in a bathrobe yelling.
But I'll tell you, it made me feel the same way I felt with Mary J. Blige when she made the transition to acting and did Mudbound and Umbrella Academy and in like the same year and gets nominated for Mudbound and then is Cha-Cha on Umbrella Academy. I was like, oh my God, her range, like bitch can do anything. And that's sort of how I felt about Teyana Taylor in this. And it's such a loaded performance, because I think she's like paying historic homage to the Coffees and all of the, you know, the Pam Grier performances of the world, and there's 1,000 different versions of that, or the great like blaxploitation heroines, which is so interesting. But then you do have people like your fucking favorite guy, James What's-His-Fuck, who isn't an actor. He's literally an interrogator. He was in this doco called The Trade, which was, I don't know if you call it a doco. It was like a sort of mini series about illegal immigration and shit. And it's like, he's a former actual interrogator. And so you're putting somebody in there who has that not only like learned and lived experience, but actual historic presence as well. I don't know. It's just, it was a really great movie, and I loved it. I loved seeing with you. I loved seeing with the audience. I actually caught up with two amazing film voices and critics and commentators, Katie and Odie from For Your Reference Pod, and was chatting to them about at the train station for all of literally like 2 minutes before our train came and we jumped on and then went our separate ways about what they thought. And they had a quite visceral opposite reaction. And I don't want to say opposite reaction because I agreed with a lot of their points, but I do think this is the kind of film where like having actual conversations and listening to the pros, the negatives, the discerning criticisms is like dissecting and digesting it all with something like this is really important. And can I also just say on your, the films that you've really loved this year, the ones that you've like really with, it's so funny that you said four, because that's all I had on my list is four. And it was literally like Sinners number one, Seeds number two, The Monkey number three, and Materialists. And now I really love K-pop Demon Hunters as well, but probably One Battle After Another is in there. But yeah, it's like there is no middle ground. Like I liked The Amateur, wouldn't put it in my top 10. Thunderbolts was great. That's cool. Last Showgirl, perfectly
There's
fine.
One that's sneaking close only because it's another great filmmaker and it's 90 minutes And it also features some outlandishly great interrogations, which is Black Bag. I had an amazing time at Black Bag. It was so fun, just as a piece of espionage.
Black Bag, to me, felt like out of sight for people who have, like, superannuation. You know what I mean? It was like people who, like, what is out of sight with a 401k? Like, I wanted to like it so much more than I did. I'm always like, I'll watch anything Soddy is getting involved in. But, yeah, I wanted to like it a lot more than I did.
Well, this has been so fun talking to you about it. Thank you for your spicy hot take and our first official one on the main feed. The last one we did put up there sort of was cresting and bridging the gap between our Patreon and our main feed was Highest to Lowest with Travis Wood. So go back and listen to that if you like. But I can't emphatically recommend this movie more. And exactly as Maria said, if you're going to have a visceral reaction, if you're going to be challenged, if you're going to find things really funny, then find things that are really grating. If you want to be excited, if you want to be thrilled, if you want to be moved, if you want to be scared, if you want to be frustrated because of the things that are this movie is reflecting back at you, I think it's got basically everything. And I hope that at the very least it continues this streak that Warner Brothers seems to be on, which is backing original films by original filmmakers. And it's like one
of the... Isn't it crazy? What a fucking year for them.
Zaslav out here
trying to cut their legs from under him left and right.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to cut everything, but they've gone back to some kind of roots of what Warner Brothers used to be in our concept, which is the studio that backs original filmmakers and original takes. And so look, an immense movie. I'm dying for more people to see it so I can talk through it more. And I think it's a masterpiece. It's definitely my favorite of the year and I'm already lining up a third time to see it.
It's my favorite PTA by a big fucking mile. I would say that much.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.